My name is Aram, and I am the co-founder of Dead Ghost Productions. I also do the editing and sound design.
My name is Dylan. I'm the other co-founder of Dead Ghost Productions. I do everything else.
Welcome to Kill Every Monster. In each episode, we are joined by a guest for a deep dive into a classic D&D monster. The first part is a discussion where we ask three core questions. What is this creature? How can they be made better? And are they truly a monster?
For the Beholder episode, we were joined by writer and TikTok star Zach Nam, who dug into the weirdness of one of Dungeons & Dragons' most diabolical creatures.
They are such a weird creature because they are one of the original D&D monsters, right? They are, you know, Gygax created it. It's one of the monsters that Wizards of the Coast actually have like a trademark on because it is the original property. And because of that, they've gone through generations as you know, each edition has come out of changing in weird ways. And we have the fifth edition creature, but we also have all these like weird little backstory bits that are no longer canon, but still very weird. Like, did you know, I found this out for this, that beholders used to create more beholders because they had a womb tongue, a tongue womb.
No.
That's awful.
Yeah.
How did the womb tongue work?
Don't ask that. So,
no, we need to know now. How did the womb tongue work? Yeah, we do.
So it was like at the base of their tongue. At some point in their life, their tongue would swell.
Fuck, I hate this.
This is gonna get real body horror, by the way. It would protrude out of their mouth, and then they'd bite off their own tongue.
Oh.
And the baby beholders would eat their way out of said tongue.
Beholders. Oh. So this is like...
Yes.
Oh, fuck.
So they would have a litter.
I hate that.
And then the mama beholder would pick the one that looked most like itself, and then either kill or abandon the others.
We hit all the big notes in our actual play session, including turning the beholder into a spinning disco ball of death.
I mean, it's blind. All its eyes are blind, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's incredible.
I think this is the point where we hit disco strobe lights. This felt like you were being very precise in the rays you chose. I think we've entered into the usual beholder territory.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where it's just blasting at random.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Okay. Let's say, I mean, what percentage chance does one hit him?
The usual rule is you roll three rays per turn,
mm-hmm.
and you just pick the target that they have an effect on. What we're going to do is... gonna keep that. Zach's gonna roll three effects. Aram, you're going to pick one.
Okay.
That is going to hit you.
Oh, that. I love that.
Strictly speaking, you should have been hit by about six more effects than you have been already, Aram. So this feels fair.
So four is telekinesis. And then I've got age.
You could eat that one pretty well.
And then I've got modify memory.
So, Aram, telekinesis, age, modify memory. Pick.
Age or modify? I'm a dwarf. I'm going to pick age.
You feel wrinkles deepen.
I mean, proportionally, isn't this roughly equivalent to, like, if he ages a decade, isn't that about, like, a year in our time?
Not even.
Not even.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel a little out of touch with current music.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
But you see these eye lasers just like decimate through the population.
How high are you off the ground?
Now even further. I mean, well, he was about 10 feet. He's going to use his movement to like fly up.
Well, then I don't want to get off you. I'm going to try and hang on.
Yeah, well, this is a large creature and you teleported on top of it. So I feel like, I mean, large means it's at least the size of a fucking horse. And it's a sphere, so I mean, I think it's reasonable that you can just stand on top of this thing unless it is actively trying to shake you off.
Then I'm just gonna keep going, and I'm gonna start trying to chop off eye stalks. Just take down one by one.
Hell yeah. As you're cutting, it's like,
The unconscious mind is soft, pliable. You dream of subjugation.
As its words switch to being tyrannical from revolutionary.
Izzy is a GM, voice actor, and a passionate fan of bears that run on bird software.
Displacer Beast is the best example, I think, of a more animalistic creature that is also clearly inherently evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is inherently a monster that will definitely kill you just for fun whenever it felt like it could get away with it.
It was a Tuesday. Nothing had died yet. Right. Guess what? It's your turn.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of fascinating to imagine, like, the, you know, these monsters with their, I guess several of them, correct me if I'm wrong, have alignments.
Yeah.
And will straight up say, like, yeah, this monster is a bad dude. And it's so interesting to me to think of an owl bear or any bear or an owl being like, I don't like you. Like, what did I do to you? Like, can I change
you
it?
You in particular.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you right there. You and your fucking shirt, get out.
But crows hold grudges. And if you're mean to one of them, they'll remember, and the rest of the flock who saw you be mean to them will remember. So maybe an owlbear could hold a grudge, could want to hurt you because of that. I could see it go either way.
And this is the thing, is even when they're described, owlbears are described animalistically. It's not necessarily that they are ruthless and cruel. They have a reputation for ferocity, aggression, stubbornness, and sheer ill temper. They are grumpy little fucks, which, in my opinion, couples very nicely to the idea that they're a bear running on bird software. It's just like, imagine if you went to an owl and were just like, you're only allowed to walk now.
He'd be pissed.
You still have to hunt and kill things, and they're just walking around like, this is fucking horse shit.
Owls do look perpetually grumpy on their own, too.
They do look super angry. I don't know a lot of owls, but every owl I've ever met has been like, whoo, I miffed.
Every time that head swings around, it's always like, what the fuck?
Whoa, my God, I'm so sorry, owl. Yeah, and then you imagine a bear doing that, and you're like, shit, do I deserve to be here?
For the Owlbear AP, we explored the magical origins of this beloved D&D murder machine.
Izzy, I want to know, when did the pull start?
I don't have a great sense of time necessarily. I'm out on my own. My kids are grown-ish, by which I mean they're two and able to eat on their own. My mate has rolled out, and for the last couple of units of time, I've been on my own enjoying life. And then maybe just two or three mornings ago, I woke up to this sensation of almost a physical, like you've said, pulling. Like something inside of me was trying to move, almost like a muscle spasm. Just this need to gotta go.
That sort of wake up in the morning, you smell the air, it's that first time where you get that whiff of like crisp autumn air. You've been through a couple of winters, so this is brand new to you, or have you ever like felt this and it was just like not the right time, you managed to sort of bury it, or is this just a fully new sensation?
I think there was maybe one time before. Maybe my first winter after the Cubs that I was sort of like, something's going on here. But you know, the kids, a guy of responsibilities, it was easy enough to ignore, you know, whatever the maternal instinct.
You gotta get them to bed. They have class.
You gotta brush
in
their
the
little
morning,
teeth.
Breakfast.
Yeah, that's wild.
Children. God. Has this been like a hard driving, like I'm going, or has it been sort of more meandering path?
Oh, it's going. There is a goal, a destination in mind. I don't know where I'm going, but I feel this movement forward.
I think where we're going to leave you off is there is a moment in this where you get to the edge of your territory and you pass it. And then you get to the edge of the wood. You hit plains. And this is territory where there you don't come out here. There isn't good hunting here. And I think for the first time in your life, you look out over wide, distant plains, and you run.
And these are just some of the more than 50 creatures we've featured on Kill Every Monster. Listen to the show anywhere you get your podcasts or at killeverymonster.com.
And we'll see you next time for
Kill Every Monster.
The ancient mountainous deserts to the south of Faerun are the places where mortals first raised great temples and unlocked powerful secrets. A kingdom once fractured by infighting has been united under the iron claw of the red dragon Chazar. The great lizard's quest for immortality has become an all-consuming obsession. His need for worshippers has set him on a path against the old gods of these lands, and they will not go quietly. An unlikely cabal of deities has banded together to undermine Chazar and ensure that their temples remain protected and active. They've traced tendrils of fate to preferred timelines, then selected five mortals who had the best chance of bringing those futures to fruition. You will take on the role of one of these chosen, in Death to the Dragon King. Find out more about this Start Playing Games campaign and all of my other available games at aram.gay.